see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to this afternoon, this evening, for the Watchman for Jesus Bible study. Welcome. We just finished the broadcast, didn't we? Some of y'all came back, and here we are again. This is Bible study. Tonight, consecration and sanctification I'm going to talk about. A few other things that I'll throw in there that about the blood of Jesus. Family, do we ever get enough of studying the Word or worshiping Jesus? When you start to, the more you get into studying the true Word of God, Bible study, and then you start learning how Satan is real and how Satan operates, you start learning also about has all prefabbed, then everything else starts taking second seat, like Agenda 21, like Fukushima, I don't know what else. We live in a tyrannical government. We got to do this and do that and so forth and so on. It starts taking second seat. In a way, it's like it's all prescripted. And you got so-and-so and so-and-so is going to change this or change that. We got to bring so-and-so in. If Governor Perry will do this or that, we can save America. It's like, what? It's like Walt Disney with a movie or something that's already scripted. Because you already know what the end is because the Bible tells you what's going to be. It's going by the book. You know, and you start seeing less and less importance in all the news. people are drawn to it, to all the tyrannical government talk and all that stuff. They're drawn to it like a moth to a flame. You see, there's things you can do about it, but people are really looking for solutions that's going to stop the judgment of God, is what they're looking for. They're looking for things to stay the same so I can just hurry up and die and not be judged for what I've done. And if I just get through this life without something happening, maybe I'll die before this so-called tribulation happens. Is that what they think they're wondering about? Well, if it is, I got bad news for them. Because even with death, they're not going to escape judgment. There's no way. Even with death, God's going to judge those alive and dead. Bring back to life. If he brought himself back, Lazarus back, took Enoch up, he can bring anybody else back. If he created Adam from nothing, he sure bring you back. And that's what he's going to do. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, not believing in God, does that make him go away? No. I don't believe in Satan. Really, you don't believe in Satan? Does that make him just disappear? No, it won't. If you don't believe in the supernatural, and there's Harvard professors that probably don't, then what good are their books? I mean, literally. If they're a secular humanist and they're writing from a humanist point of view, don't believe in the supernatural, then their books are pretty much worthless. And I mean that literally. Because the supernatural is the rule. It is the law. It is the reality of where we live. It is the supernatural. I just don't believe it. Okay. Then you must believe in evolution. And evolution is impossible. So you believe in something impossible on the physical realm. Okay. That makes a whole lot of sense. Because evolution is impossible. It is perfectly impossible because it's based on entropy. Entropy, everything in this earth is dying, rusting, rotten, consumed, or dissipates, whatever. It goes backwards. It don't go forwards. So what keeps it going forwards? God does. This creator just keeps it all going. Like he's winding up the clock every day that winds down. He winds it back up again or something like that. He keeps it all together. It's all about escaping that judgment is what it really boils down to. And that man is smarter than what he is, but yet man doesn't understand squat. History books keep changing every year. Every month they come up with a new theory. What does that tell you right there? Even try to keep changing the Bible, but there's one that remains the same. It's the oldest book on the face of the planet. And that's the King James Bible. Yeah, I say, we got him now. That Bible's not that old. It's new. Let somebody tell me that. It said, besides, the King James is only 400 years old. It's a baby compared to time man has been on earth. Oh, big mistake. I said, okay. And so I fired up the old canon. I said, no. I said, the King James Bible is the oldest book on the face of this planet. And I'll tell you why. Because you see, the King James Bible was transcribed from copies of the originals from the Textus Receptus, going back to Antioch, Syria, in the first century. The Dead Sea Scrolls had a copy of Isaiah, which is Old Testament, and found that the Bible today was exactly what the manuscript was written. It's not the age of the book, it's the source of inspiration. They keep forgetting that. So the books of Enoch, based on the Textus Receptus, is actually the basis of the Textus Receptus, was also transcribed perfectly because the scribes were closely watched. And the ones watching feared and respected the Holy Word of God. Therefore, any mistakes the scribes made on the scrolls and copying and copying and copying, any mistakes, the whole scroll was destroyed, burned, started all over again. So the copies came from the originals collected in Antioch. So the copies are exactly like the originals. The copies of the Old Testament was also carried on, and therefore the Old Testament was covered also. The Masoretic text, which is the half of the Torah, Book of Moses, five books of the Bible. I'd say it's pretty old. All it is transcribed and translated. The books were written by Moses and dictated by God himself. Therefore, the King James Bible is the inerrant word of God. It goes back to Moses. Since it's God's word, God dictated to Moses and with the Spirit and with Jesus and Pentecost, all the disciples, prophets, Old and New Testament, were given word from God himself. Since God's the creator, not one mistake. It makes the King James Bible stand alone in being the word of God. God the creator would make it the oldest book known, because it comes from God, and God's the creator. I don't think God made a mistake. And the men who were obedient to God followed his word exactly. All Bibles other than the King James can be traced to the origin. Again, no pun intended, but he's named Origen, is the origin of all the Bibles we got today. He's a Greek philosopher from Alexandria, Egypt, during the 4th century. The only true word coming directly from God is the King James Bible. It goes all the way back to creation. I say it's a pretty old book. The name of Jesus is Jesus, Jesus in Greek, Jesus in English. The I became J, and there you have it. Hebrews lost that assignment of bringing the word of God to man. Now let's discuss the real reason for changing the name of Jesus. The real reason for wanting to change the name of Jesus, for example, to Yeshua or Joshua, Yahushua, or whatever crazy form they want to form it, is because the fallen angel by the name of Sananda Emmanuel is calling himself Yeshua and Yeshua and other forms that look like it. See, the Jews aren't telling folks, the ones that know about this, they're not telling folks that they think he's the real Messiah. But he's not. He's a fallen angel. He's a fraud, a fake, and heading to hell. For the New Agers, he's an ascended master. But either way, he's a massive fraud. Jesus is Jesus. And in the universal language of English, you'll find his true name and his true word. It's just part of it. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. We're going to talk about tonight the consecration, some other subjects, sanctification. And play a few songs for you on this Thursday night, 27th of February. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together again in a Bible study. Though we lay upon the cross, Father, we ask us to forgive, ask you to forgive our sins. And Father, for those sins that we can't remember, that you bring them back to our minds. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom, discernment you give us to study the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the miracles that you do perform. Father, we ask you for discernment, be able to discern the end times events, and Father, for divine appointments that we can spread the true word of gospel. We pray for an awakening, Lord, of the truth. That those that, Father, are seeking the truth, that they be consecrated, sanctified, Father, and be led the right direction, right path. Guide us tonight, Lord, as we come to Bible study. We study, we open up the book, and we, Father, we share today and tonight, and then for tomorrow, too, to cover us in the blood of Jesus and protect us as we go through this study. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Keep saying the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? Why this requirement for blood sacrifice? Why would he do that? You know, the whole of the Old Testament, in every book of it, points toward the great sacrifice that was to come. That was the purpose of sacrificing animals. The lamb, unblemished, it all equaled what was yet to come in Jesus. It was that of Jesus' sacrificial giving of his own life on our behalf. If you go to Leviticus 17, verse 11, in Levites, Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Life is in the blood. Adam and Eve sinned. Before they sinned, they had no blood in their bodies. It was a glorified body. It was a supernatural body of flesh and bone. Didn't say anything about blood. When they sinned, the bodies began to die. But they had to replenish, multiply. In other words, if they hadn't sinned, she'd have given birth to babies, but not in pain. Adam would never have had to work for his food. It'd all be there on the trees. It'd be there in the garden. God never intended us to work to deal with technology. Never intended to. He wants total worship. You see, we get caught in this routines of today. All the way back to Adam and Eve was kicked out from then on. And the mark of the beast had been set up all along by Satan, which is money, to get you used to it throughout the world. He didn't have the technology to where we are now, so he just got it used to it. He set up the world system. In the seven areas I talked about, of one of them is economics and finance. You see, let's get down to it. For them to conduct alchemy, to open portals, witchcraft, they have knowledge of the elements of the universe, elements of the earth, herbs and incantations and all that sort of thing. Copper and gold and all that is needed because of their properties and vibrational properties, when put together by trial and error, Satan learned how to open up the portals. Create life. Oh, not create, but manipulate life and DNA. Everything has an energy source and surrounds it by molecules and protons and all that stuff. Can be manipulated. The Tower of Babel was to be lined, each level was to be lined with copper. The gold, silver, all that has properties that Satan needs. So consequently, very clever to trade, to obtain items and trade off to each other required money. In comes Mammon, M-A-M-M-O-N, is a demon. That's his specialty. And the other Bibles, they changed the word mammon to money. Well, it's not money. Mammon is the name of a demon. King James Bible covers it properly. The other Bibles take it away and call it money just to take away the truth about the supernatural. Well, that's sneaky. So it gets the world used to trading work with what's in the ground. So he's got mankind having to dig in the ground for the wealth of the earth and to satisfy it with money so he can dig it up and be used by the fallen angels. It's called gold, silver, and the crystals are used to be possessed. Mankind has been fooled with something horrible. And for us to dig up for them, because they can't do that digging. Mankind digs it up for him. So make it worthwhile. He backs the money with resources of the earth. That's why. Everything in the earth is supposed to stay down there. Number two, by the mining and fracking and digging things up, the fracking returns the atmosphere to what it used to be with barium, argon, more radiation for the survivability of the Nephilim to greater enhance their flesh. Oh, it's some alchemy going on today. Chemtrails and all that stuff. That's what Satan's done. So then when we get to the point, and he has now gotten to the point of the mark of the beast, and I talked about that earlier, and I'm going to get off of this here in a minute, but is now he's brought mankind, he's taken all this time to train mankind for technology, to now take away he's already got things dug up that he needs, to now control mankind by the microchip, which tacks into, connects to your soul. Your soul is energy. And the connecting point, you plug into the modem, if you will, by the microchip. That's how it's working, or going to work. Control your emotions and everything through that manner. But to get that point, you had to dig up the gold, dig up the silver, all that for their use. And also get you used to the mark of the beast, which is about buying and selling. Now they're closing in. That's why I think we're in the end times. Because they're showing you all this now. Back to the blood. So why the blood sacrifice? Jesus giving of his own life on our behalf. The Old Testament central statement then is about the significance of blood in the sacrificial system. And God speaking to Moses, he said, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Because when we started to die, it took blood to keep you alive. When you're supernatural, Enoch's system then was changed from blood to transgress to a supernatural state with no blood in the body. So a sacrifice is defined pretty much as the offering of something precious for a cause or a reason. Without the blood, they die. You see, making atonement is satisfying to someone, something for an offense committed. And the Leviticus verse that we're talking of can be read more clearly now. So God said, I've given it to you, the creature's life, which is in its blood, to make atonement for yourselves, covering the offense you've committed against me. So in other words, those who are covered by the blood of Jesus, the blood sacrifice, are set free from the consequences of sin. Satan and Baal and the New Age and the cult, the Mayans. Everybody keeps quoting the Mayans as if you're supposed to respect them. They were murderers, as Nimrod and those in the occult today. Wicca, those that do the sacrifices, the Bohemian Grove, the whole lot of them are murderers. That's what abortion's all about. So Satan with his minions, secret societies, mock God by sacrificing children and infants and adults and to take that life energy away. For their own use. But, you know, the Israelites, Hebrew to Israelites, to Jews, but the Israelites at this point, they didn't know of Jesus per se. They knew Messiah was coming. They didn't know how he would die on their behalf and rise again. But they did believe God would be sending them a Savior. That's brought to them through God, to Moses. Satan is a copier, deceiver. When the Vatican could not pull over the descendants of Ishmael, pull some over, not all of them, the Arabs, the offspring of Ishmael, the son of Abraham, they created a religion called Islam. And then to make it complete, they sent the Arab Roman Catholics out to the camps for a long time, saying they had a Savior coming also. That's what they, and his name was B. Muhammad. That was supernatural pre-planning. That's another story entirely. But you know, the many, many blood sacrifices seen throughout the Old Testament was foreshadowing the true and once-for-all sacrifice to come into the Israelites. And they would never forget that without the blood, there's no forgiveness. That was to remind them for generations. Shedding of blood is a substitute. Therefore, the last clause in Leviticus 17:11 could be read, the blood makes atonement at the cost of the life, the animal's life, makes atonement in the place of life. The old law was harsh, but the Savior had not come yet. So the sinner's life with Jesus Christ being the one given life through the shed blood. If you go to Hebrews 9:11-18, But Christ being come in a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes and heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force. Other men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. So, it confirms the symbolism that the blood is life, and it applies to Leviticus 17:11, and that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, I've said this several times to my regular listeners that that's one of the reasons, main reasons, why Jesus went to paradise, which is adjacent to Hades back then, before the flood, before the resurrection, before the he died on the cross. And all that time before, and in the Old Testament as well, men of God went to paradise, not heaven, waiting for that Messiah. They didn't know who he was going to be. And so when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he went supernatural on us. Disappeared for 3 days. He went to the paradise, which was adjacent to Hades, hell. And again, I'll emphasize, Joyce Myers is wrong. Copeland is wrong, dead wrong. Dollar, T.D. Jakes, a whole lot of them, when they say that Jesus Christ suffered in hell. Not an opinion. They're dead wrong. When Jesus Christ said it's finished on the cross, that's exactly what he meant. He had suffered already. Then we went down into the bowels of the earth. Somewhere there, in another dimension, if you will, was paradise, where all the Old Testament saints and prophets were waiting. He preached to them the gospel, I am the Messiah. And paradise was vacated, removed. They all went to heaven, but the ones in hell stayed put and are still there today. And will be there throughout the entire millennium, whenever it finally gets here. It's a long time away, by the way. And then after the millennium, they'll be pulled out, judged, and put in the lake of fire. That's yet to happen. Verse 12 states clearly that the Old Testament blood sacrifices were temporary. Yep. And only atoned for the sin partially and for the short time, so the need to repeat the sacrifices yearly. That's why. So when Christ entered the most holy place, he did so to offer his own blood once and for all time, and it made future sacrifices unnecessary. Now, watch this. Those like Jonathan Click and the rest of them are wrong. They say that they have another definition for the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist double crosses Israel, mankind, World War III, famine, pestilence, and marches into Jerusalem after 3.5 years of coming on the scene. He will take over Jerusalem and declare sacrifices of animals stopped. Oh, wait a minute. Stopped? That means they had to start them, didn't they? That's correct. Because the first seal when the Antichrist takes over, peace and prosperity, they will start the first sacrifices of the heifer and animals from then on. That's a slap in the face of Jesus. Now you see how it's called the abomination. That is the abomination. When he goes in to declare himself to be God, he says, now stop the sacrifices. I'm God. So that means in the first seal, at the beginning of the 3.5 years, they started sacrifices. That's denying Jesus Christ. Now there's any wonder why you have World War III in the second seal? Yeah, there you go. His own beloved. Once again, slap him in the face and deny him by starting the sacrifices, which they're going to do. And they rebuild the temple. I think the one named Jonathan Click says or not, that the temple's the baloney. They're going to build that temple again the third time. And then God's going to bring judgment upon the Israelis and the world. It's called World War III. And he will bring people to their knees. Don't matter how tough you think you are. He's going to do it because he loves you. Otherwise, people aren't going to wake up. And he gives you a head notice, too. That's the thing about the sacrifices. And that is the abomination. When 3.5 years after they start, that's where religious freedom comes in. Uh-huh. That's what the Pope's trying to do now, isn't he? Bring all religions together. Oh, we're close. So this is what Jesus meant by his dying words on the cross. It is finished. Never again would the blood of bulls and goats cleanse men from sin. Only by accepting Jesus' blood shed on the cross for the remission of sins can you stand before God covered in the righteousness of Christ. And his name's not Yeshua, not Yahweh, not Yeshua, whatever. That name is going to be reserved for Sanan Emmanuel. That's why. Very tricky how they're pulling that off. It's called the Sacred Name Movement. It's linked up to the Hebrew Roots Movement, Christian Identity, Herbert Armstrong, Unitarianism, Shepherd's Chapel. They're all connected to this thinking. Tribe of Dan. Tribe of Dan ended up near Mount Hermon. Oh, that's another story there. Yeah, Tribe of Dan got kicked out. They cohabitated with fallen angels. Tribe of Dan had offspring that today is the monarchy in England. That's why they say that they're descendants of Jesus and Mary. Well, if that's what they say, they're, listen now. They're descendants. If that's true, then that means they're descendants of Sananda Emmanuel, who took on a physical body, took some woman, wasn't Mary, and there is your bloodline, a fallen angel. Now, here comes the shocker. Right now, this second, if you look up on your computer while I'm talking, the name Sananda Emmanuel, S-A-N-A-N-D-A. Link it up to Ascended Masters, or kill two birds with one stone with the name Yeshua. Well, the two birds are, he's claiming he's going to be Yeshua, and the second bird you're going to kill is the one called Sananda Emmanuel. We've been looking at his portrait since the day we're born, since the day we thought Jesus Christ was Caucasian, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and long-haired. That's Sananda Emmanuel. That's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All our lives, we've been looking at the wrong Jesus on portraits and black velvet. Nobody knows what the real Jesus looks like. He will have short hair. He'll look Arabic. Bronze skin. Hair like wool. That's Jesus. Maybe a round face, big lips. You know, bronze skin, like more Indian, more Mexican, more Middle Easterner. Now, why do you think he would look more Middle Easterner? Could it be because he's from the Middle East and never traveled outside more than 100 miles of Jerusalem? And they try to get us to believe that white folk are the Israel from Europe and America. Not so. That's the bloodline of Japheth. The bloodline of Shem stayed the Middle East. Sorry. Now, I don't have a problem with that. And I'm a white boy. I'm an Irish, Scotch-Irish guy. I don't get into this racial baloney. He's the Savior. It's his blood, not his skin color, that saves you. Everybody claims, black folks claim he's black, white folk claim he's white. Who cares? I don't understand the difference. I don't understand the big deal. It's the blood, not the skin color, not the race, not the culture. Better worry about your salvation and the blood of the Lamb, because that's where it's at. That's what's going to matter the most. He's going to rise. It's only Christ alone. It's through him salvation, and we're sanctified through his blood. And with that, let's hear about it.
Took on flesh.
I'm going to show you, tell you, I can't show you, this is not video, how much we've lost our way is mind-boggling. Let me explain. I've done presentations using, talking about the rock and roll era going back to the 50s and the heavy metal and all this going on and incredible blasphemy that's just over the edge, even for a non-Christian. For decades, decades and decades, and the videos, every one of them just about, right? Katy Perry had a video that was fraught with Egyptian symbolism, witchcraft, recently. And one of her scenes has, when she's doing something with her mouth thing going on, and one of the men that walk up to her is outlaid with all this metal and gold and stuff hanging from his chest with medallions and doodads and knick-knack paddywhack and so forth. So if you look real close, you'll find where there is an emblem or logo that's in gold or whatever it is about Islam on this video. And it says at 1 minute and 15 seconds into the video, Dark Horse, a man is shown being burned while wearing a pendant, also burned, forming the words Allah, which is the Arabic word for God. It says Allah. Cleopatra, Perry's Cleopatra's figure or character she's acting out to be, inspired personas, opposition to God, engulfs the believer, and word God in flames. 60,000 supporters complained about it, and they had to redo the whole video, and all they had to do was remove that one pennant and reshoot it. It was a new version. They just blacked it out. One little old pennant, 60,000 supporters, and not a word said over the past decades and decades and decades about blaspheming God in the rock and roll. Not a word. Encouraged. Oh, we've lost our way bad. I mean, this is phenomenal. I mean, you can't even hardly tell unless you look real hard about this medallion, about this pennant. I mean, y'all get the how massive this is? It's in our face every single day for decades. Completely engulfed the United States in this new age, hard rock, rock and roll, heavy metal. Unbelievable. And of course, you know about the Jack Black's dedication to Lucifer in the some music awards. Not a word. Not a word. You had, and of course, I'm not really pushing the Pope, of course, but you had even the Catholics were quiet when Lady Gaga came in. Montague, whatever his name was. Montage. Is that what it is? Maybe I got it right. She even dressed as little Red Riding Hood and had her pet Pope on her arm. Not a word from the Roman Catholic Church about blasphemy of the Pope. Not even there. Not a word. One. Man, I tell you, judgment's coming. It ain't much to go. I'm not a Jeremiah by no stretch of imagination, but I'm telling you, we're going to have judgment coming on this country like they have no idea. Unless they take up 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's going to get ugly. It'll get good, and it'll get ugly. It's called the first seal. It's coming, man. It's coming. I'll tell you what. You know, it's people don't want to hear it, but when it happens, they're gonna wish they heard something. Wish they had taken some action. It's gonna be individual. That's why it says that you're not to love mother, father, wife, children, anything more than him. I mean, can you imagine sitting there on TV and listening to this? And not a word.
Good. Backstage, you told me to comment on your muscles if I felt the urge.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for commenting.
I didn't.
I've been working out a lot.
Previous winners of Best Rock Video are some of the most exciting acts of all time. Green Day, Linkin Park, and, of course, Aerosmith.
Yeah. Now, listen. Since we're given a rock award tonight, who wants to pray to the devil with me? Who's in with me? Come on, hey. Let me see those horns. Let me see those horns. Metal, 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 metal. All right. Now take the hand of the person next to you. Come on, Layton.
On and on they go with a full prayer to Satan on Music Awards. MTV VMA 2009. I'd say we lost our way big time. And recently they complained about that video by Katy Perry, about some medallion you can't hardly see, and they redid the entire video and had it removed because it said Allah in language you couldn't even read, unless you could read Arabic. Buckle up. Sanctification. What is sanctification? You know, Jesus had a lot to talk about in sanctification. In the book of John, chapter 17, verse 16, he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And this is before his request. He said, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. See, sanctification is a state of separation unto God. So, believers enter into this state of sanctification when they're born of God, born again. But of him, you're in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God through the Holy Spirit. You have righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Go to 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. See, Jesus Christ is not about religion. Religion was brought to us by Satan. Patriotism, sovereignty of countries throughout the world was brought about by Satan. So why? Because we would fight each other. God divided us at the Tower of Babel, and we're supposed to be divided the whole time. To love each other, but stay divided in our cultures and languages and so forth, because he divided us. And why did God divide us? So we would not get together and plot against him, because that's what happened. Huh. And then to make sure, in that time, the water table was raised to divide the land. That's all God's doing. However, Satan turned that around and then said, all right, let's fight each other. And that's what he went to doing. Satan is now trying to bring everybody back together through one culture, intermix the cultures into one culture. They've accomplished that. To end the strife and conflict, but under his control of malevolence, not benevolence. See, Jesus Christ is going to have a one world government. He's not going to have us divided up. It's going to be one world government. But under a benevolent, loving. Leader and king. Satan, on the other hand, has a different idea. Reduce the population. Get control of everybody through technology. And only elite and fallen angels will have the benefit of control. But you know that's not going to happen. You got the seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. Judgment of which this earth has never seen before will happen. Hadn't even started yet. So, it's a once-forever separation. Eternally unto God is an intricate part of the salvation, is our connection with Jesus Christ in Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So if you got aliens out there and millions of planets and all this other nonsense, how does that work, preachers? Billy Graham believes in aliens. I know some Baptist ministers got mad at me when I said, there's no aliens out there. They're fallen angels. Oh, no. Tom, come on now. You know, and all those planets, they always got all those. You know. Nope. Then what about original sin? What about sanctification? Once for all. See, they're not thinking about this. How come they don't think about this? I don't understand it. These are theologians. Of all kinds of religions. You see, Jesus Christ is not about religion or even Christianity. Christianity was created in 325 A.D. by Constantine, who was a sun worshiper, Baal. He was the first pope. Let's get down to it. So sanctification refers to the experience of separation to God, being the effect of being obedient to the word of God in your life. It's to be pursued by the believer. 1 Peter 1:15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Well, that covers it, don't it? But you know, the Lord prayed, as it talks about in John 17, and it had in that view of setting apart the believers, wheat and the tares, for the purpose of which they're sent into the world. It says, as thou didst send me into the world, even to send I them into the world. That'd be the Great Commission. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. You know, he set himself apart for the purpose of, for which he is sent, in both the basis of it and the condition of our being set apart for that which is we being sent for. You know, his sanctification is the pattern that we use and the power for our own. Descending and sanctifying are inseparable. There's one more sense that the word sanctification is referred to in Scripture. And Paul prayed in Thessalonians 5, verse 23. He said, "The God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul also had a lot to do with the Bible. He had 13 books, 12, but they think that Hebrews is also written by Paul. Colossians, he wrote, "The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of truth of the gospel." Colossians 1:5, he speaks later as the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, he mentions the fact that the hope, when he says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory." He goes on. So basically, sanctification is the same Greek word as holiness. It means hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, I believe, and it means separation. First, once for all, positional separation with Christ as our salvation. Secondly, a practical holiness as progressive in nature, awaiting the return of Christ. And thirdly, you'll be changed into his perfect likeness, holy, sanctified, separated from the presence of evil, with no memory of it. Go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans, where's Romans at here? Romans 12. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God put us first in Christ. How he delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, now he's delivered us from the power of sin, self, and the flesh, the world, and from Satan. This is where we are. This is what's going on. This is a reality, not Agenda 21. Not the Venus flytrap thing they got going on when they're going to fly to Venus and set up a city or something. That's what everybody's concerned about. Oh, there's going to be tyranny on the government. You know, I'm thinking that all this about World War III and the step up of military action, all this, I think they're getting ready for disclosure. And what may happen when they announce alien technology, announce aliens publicly, and that they're getting ready to fight Nephilim or getting ready to fight reptilians or something another, whatever. And so the countries are coming together, but they're making it look like they're coming together because of a war, so it won't panic the public. That's a definite possibility. These haven't revealed this alien lie. There comes in Quayle's Angel Wars scenario in that book. See, there's no, in the fallen angels, they're all bad. But in some of these books, it's coming out that there's good angels and UFOs and bad angels, UFOs, reptilians, and then they're talking about the Pleiadians and the Anunnaki and Anunnaki and I don't know what else. Man, they're all going to hell. It's only Jesus Christ, only one, that's going to return and solve these problems and bring his kingdom down. But before that is judgment's coming. No fallen angel, no human being is going to solve it. But Jesus will. He's the only one. But in the meantime, we looked at consecration and sanctification and the Great Commission of spreading the true word. You know, all these wonderful things are the mercies of God, but we deserve nothing but death because we're sinners. It's hard to say, you know. But you know, but God has freely bestowed upon us all these great blessings. Now God asks us to do something for him. He asks us to consecrate ourselves to him. Not like they do to Satan, Allah, or Muhammad, or whatever, or Bodhisattva, or Krishna, or Kalki Avatar, or the Christ, which is not Jesus, or Yeshua, or Jeshua. All kinds of names they got going on. And Yeshua, whatever. I can't pronounce half of them. Consecration is very important. And the preachers aren't teaching it today. You might have some that are, but very few. Because this consecration is also the giving of your life to God to do his will instead of our own. It means that we present our body to him as a living sacrifice. Man, that is not being done. I'm guilty. Been doing all my mess for so many years. Took me a long time to come around. The animals that were offered to God in the Old Testament were slain, and they were dead sacrifices. See, God doesn't ask us to place our body upon an altar to be slain. And Abraham just put Isaac up there, so it'd be written about. But Abraham had the faith that God would provide. He went through with it. And he said, stop right the moment he's getting ready to do it, just to test him right out. And so we'd read about it. And it'd test Abraham's faith and obedience. He wants us to live for him. The sacrifices in the Old Testament were types of the Lord Jesus. Let me give you an example. When a lamb was offered as a sin offering, okay, it was a type or picture of the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. That's what it represented. Then there's another sacrifice which had nothing to do with sin. This is called the burnt offering. So, the burnt offering, if I'm not mistaken here, the burnt offering sort of represented the Lord Jesus offering up his life to the Father to do his will. So the sacrifice was precious to God then, because that's his only begotten Son. I know the Trinity is a mystery for us, but we do not have dimensional capacity to understand God and his ways. His ways are not our ways. Because we're carnal. We're flesh. Well, we try to make sense of it, but you're not going to. That's why you can never debate God's word. It's ridiculous to debate God's word. Who is able to debate the word of God from one to another? To debate an atheist? You can't do it. It's impossible. We don't know the ways of God, so how can we debate his word? But the sacrifice was precious to God, and from it, you can learn a lot of things about consecration. It's voluntary. Leviticus 1, 2, and 3 tells us voluntary. It tells us that consecration is unto the Lord, and that must be voluntary. like in taking the mark of the beast. It must be voluntary. Tom, I say, what? You think they could sneak it on us? No, it has to be voluntary acceptance. Oh, you'd be certainly cajoled, that's for sure. But you still have free will. And God will give you a way to escape. God does not compel you to consecrate your life to him. Satan does. He says, I beseech you. He wants you to give your life up to him. Not because you have to, but because you love him and want to serve him. He has to provide punishment for the angels. And he lets us know that. However, we give him no choice when we turn away. And you die, it's sealed. I'm not going to talk about suicide. I've spoken about that before. You know, it's a touchy subject. My thoughts on it are that if the person commits suicide, that they weren't saved in the first place. Otherwise, the spirit would be in them, would not allow them to do that. Then you say, well, they were given drugs, they were using ELF technology, didn't know what they were doing. I can't answer for that. Maybe God at the last minute saved them. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to, it's like, does animals go to heaven? That's over my pay grade. But it is self-murder. It's taking your fate out of God's hands and putting it in your own, and you're making the choice for him. So, I don't know. Go with that. I've talked about it before. I think I've talked for about an hour on it. But taking the mark has got to be voluntary. Because it gives you that free will. When you consecrate yourself to the Lord, then you ask yourself, does that mean that you're giving your life to be a preacher or missionary? No. You don't really consecrate yourself to be a preacher or missionary unless he calls you to that. You know. You consecrate yourself to the Lord to do his will wherever you are, school, home, your business, whatever you do, wherever he may send you. Your whole life may change. I don't know. It's up to you, between you and God. See, God's the one who decides that he wants you to do and where he wants you to serve him. You know, listen to that small, still voice. And you know it's going to work out when he gives you that voice. So consecration is the offering of a whole life to God. Boy, we have that taken off our minds every day, don't we? You got my trophies. You got my certificates. I'm going to go climb Mount Everest one of these days. I'm going to get my name put up there. Kind of doubt whether I'll actually be running the 100-yard dash for the Olympic team next 4 years ago. You know, we look for a legacy we can leave behind. Something to put my hands on. I can smell, touch, feel. That's not about that at all. You know, God permitted four kinds of creatures to be used as sacrifices in the burnt offering. Those people who were wealthy bought a costly animal, such as a bullock. Those with less wealth bought a sheep, and those with could not afford either brought a dove or a pigeon. But in each case, it was the offering up of the whole life to God. God could not accept anything less it was than this. So, what does that tell you about consecration? Well, it tells us that consecration is the offering up of the whole life to God. That's what that means. Whole life of the animal before and now, your whole life is a sacrifice because Jesus took the death, but he came back, which we can't, unless he brings us back. You cannot give God part of your life and keep part of it to yourself. It wouldn't satisfy him. It's total. It's very important what I'm telling you. All the joy and blessings in the Christian life depend on you holding back nothing. And consecration is actually also final. See, once this animal is placed on the altar as a burnt offering to God, it cannot be taken down again. You can't start all over again. You can't quit. It was holy unto God, the Bible says. Leviticus 27:28, every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. So once you've dedicated your life to God, you can't take it back again. I guess sometimes we fall away. He'll be there to let you know you're falling away. God expects your dedication to be once and for all, giving yourself to Him. So now we ask, what happens if I fall back or I fall into sin? So do you rededicate your life to God? No, you don't. It doesn't mean that you rededicate yourself. It just means you've sinned. You should confess your sins to God, so you may once enjoy the fellowship. It's not necessary to rededicate yourself to God. Something's already been given to Him. What do they say? Here we go. Yeah.
Every praise to our God. Come on, everybody, sing.
What's the purpose of consecration? God's will be done in your life. It's really the Lord Jesus who does God's will in you. The Bible says, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Lord Jesus Christ. So you read the Gospels, they tell you how the Lord Jesus did his Father's will when he lived here on earth. The book of Acts tells you how he continued to do the Father's will through the apostles and the disciples of the day. But now, the Lord wants to work through us to do God's will. To do this, he needs us to offer our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. See, Lord Jesus has no hands to do God's work here on earth except our hands. He has no feet to take God's message to the lost except our feet. He has no lips to tell men of God's salvation except through our lips. That's why you read Romans 12:1. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I cannot but lose in poor contempt of all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, there were present too far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. We're not doing that today. It's coming around. The Bible tells us that we're to present ourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead. The more you study, the more you research, the more you worship, the more you get into his worship, the further you get it from everybody else. You find this to be true. You're going to get a lot of unfriends. I unfriend you. You're going to get a lot of blocks. I get blocked all the darn time. I try to help you. I really do try to help. But you start talking about certain things, man, they don't hesitate. They will block you so quick. I know every time I bring up about Yeshua and Jeshua and Sananda Manuel, man, they block me before I get my next word out. They're trying to hide that like crazy. Certain words you give or certain things you say, they don't argue, man. They just get away. Fast. This is nothing compared to what's coming. See, God can't use anything of the old life. Only those who are alive from the dead can serve him. Born again. If you die to your own plans and ambitions, I live to do the will of God. I don't even, myself, it's just me. I always wondered why I just never really cared about birthdays. I didn't like them at all. Tom, you're going to have your birthday? No. When's your birthday? The third. Oh, it is. What, 2 days? Oh, I could care less about my birthday. It's just me. I don't give a hoot about it. It doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, if I celebrate, it'd be my mother, I guess. You know, the birth thing. She gave you birth and all that. But I don't get in birthdays and holidays and stuff. I'm just, the more I study, the more I get into it, the more I learn about God and learn about the truth about what's going on, the further I get away from what's going on in the world. It's like nothing is important. It's not important because you know what's going to happen to it. Not that you're apathetic at all. It's that, well, you know, you look at what's the most important thing, what really matters. You work hard at it. Certainly you got to work, I guess. You got to work and pay those bills off, or you're going to be out in the street. You know, you got that route to go. Thought process. But what do you depend on God for this, that he is going to provide? what really matters. The only thing that really matters in this world is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Him as your Savior and let Him be your Lord. Jesus Christ died for your sins by being nailed to the cross. He shed His blood for you. He was buried, rose again on the third day. He's alive. At that very moment, Jesus wants to give you a new life that will never end. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants to remain with you forever and help you in every way. Believe in Jesus. Accept Him as your Savior. Let Him be your Lord. And that's really the only thing that matters. That's what it's going to come down to. Those of you that's searching this out, matter of speaking, you're already a step ahead. Because He'll use you to witness to others. Well, you'll find when you consecrate your life to the Lord, He'll show you that work which He has to be done for you. It depends what He's going to send you. The greatest satisfaction comes from when you find God's will for your life and then do it. You think of the joy of meeting Him in glory and hearing Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Everybody's wrapped up in all this fear and passing this law, that law, all that stuff. We're to still resist in a manner of getting laws changed or other ways. Yeah, they're still there. But everybody gets wrapped around the axle about it. They get all nervous and afraid and all this. And do what you can. But witnessing to others is the number one thing. We're at the end of the program tonight. Wow. 9 o'clock. What happened? Anyway, what I say today? What? Somebody remind me what I said tonight. I know what I said tonight. Sometimes I get started. Sometimes I really don't remember what I talked about the 2 hours before because I go in another frame of thinking, another thought pattern of some sort, and I put things together as I go along. I don't have script and all that stuff. And I little it to the Holy Spirit. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a theologian. I improvise. You see, I improvise. I've improvised every single broadcast I've had since the day I started. Well, family, y'all have a good night tonight. And tomorrow's another day. And another practice and preparation for what's yet to come. Lord, we thank You tonight that we come together in the Bible study. And Lord, we pray there'll be many more. Lord, help us to understand what it means to be sanctified and guide us in that path. And Lord, to justify us, sanctify us for consecration. That we'd consecrate our lives to You. And show us the way. Give us the divine appointments. That Father will succeed. Give us that strength to cover us with the blood of Jesus. That Father will be examples of others as well and lead others to Jesus. And we thank You for the trials and tribulations You've given us to strengthen us. And prepare us for the future. These things we pray. In the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, now, y'all have a good night. And we'll see you all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And remind you again that John Kirkler is putting up a – he's running the highportradio.net, highportradio.net, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he's putting up a new tower every day, every month, I understand. He's growing fast. He plays our broadcast and our Bible studies a random basis, but he plays them up there, and he's going to grow. Also, we're played by KBLU Radio at Blue Raven Network, randomly, sometimes simulcast. And Monday nights, 8 to 10, in addition to my regular broadcasting, 4 to 6 daily, 8 to 10, I'm at RevelationRadioNetwork.org. 8 to 10, Mondays only, nighttime. Of course, Monday through Friday is 4 to 6 here at WatchmanForJesus.com. My website, WatchmanForJesus.com, you'll find archives I put up, timeline I put up, and study I've done on the suicide conspiracy. The timeline encompasses quite a bit of information. That in itself will keep you busy. Still working on this, learning how to do a website. Anyway, so y'all have a good night tonight, and we'll see you all tomorrow at 4 on Friday. I haven't decided yet about doing a Bible study on Saturday nights. I usually use Saturdays and Sundays to get geared up for the coming week. Also, it was brought up to me to maybe do a Skype program, but I also remembered that somebody reminded me too, almost forgot, that you let people on your Skype, if they want to take you down or take you out or get on your computer, they can have some way of doing it. I don't know how that works exactly, but somehow they can get in on your Skype when you let them in, and they have a program, a software, something that they can get inside your computer through the Skype. It opens a portal of some sort. So I remembered about that. So we'll see what happens. So y'all have a good night, and I appreciate y'all dropping by. This is Watchman for Jesus. God bless. Good night. I'm signing off. Good night. God bless. Sleep tight. Signing off.